from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. And we have a great show in store for all of you out there. Of course, I am your host, Al Martin. And folks, what a night it was. Out at Don Johnson Fieldhouse at Lansing Eastern High School as the Lansing Everett Vikings went to double overtime against Hutchinville. It was one of the funniest basketball games I've ever covered in my life, all right? You'll get to hear our coverage from last night's insane Lansing Everett and Hutchinville Eagles basketball game. You don't want to miss that. We will also dive into, of course, our conversation that we wrapped up yesterday's show with. Should Deontay Davis of the Michigan State men's basketball team head to the NBA? Yeah, we'll continue that chat. And if you didn't get to hear Izzo's candid thoughts on that subject, you don't want to miss it. All right. Also, we are paying tribute to my favorite hip-hop group of all time, A Tribe Called Quest. They just suffered a loss this morning, which we'll dive into in just a second. Also, Todd Duckett, former Michigan State and NFL running back, great, and founder of New World Float, will join me on the show. That and so much more. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. A packed show, so much to talk about, so little time, but hey, you know what's next. We get this party started with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you by the one, the only, Mr. Mike Masson.
Three area boys hoops teams punched their tickets to the Breslin Center and the state semifinals in last night's quarterfinal round. Lansing Everett defeated Hutchinville in a double OT thriller, 63-54. It'll be the Vikings' second consecutive trip to the Brez after a semifinal appearance 1 year ago. They'll look to go a step further when they face off with North Farmington on Friday in Class A action at 2:50 p.m. Thanks to Riley Lewis's game-high 27 points, Williamston topped River Rouge 53-46 in Class B action. The Hornets will next take on Detroit Henry Ford on Friday at 6. And last but not least, the Fulton Pirates got the better of Bel Air 51-41 to advance in Class D. Next up is a matchup with Powers North Central on Thursday at 7:50. After 17 games away from East Lansing to start the season, the MSU baseball team will hold their home opener this afternoon as they host Central Michigan at McLean Stadium. The Spartans began this season with the best start in school history by jumping out to a 14-1 record before losing back-to-back games to South Florida this past weekend. That red-hot start saw Michigan State ranked for the first time since April 1988. MSU has received consistent play both at the plate and on the mound as they are the only team in the country to rank inside the top 10 in both batting average and ERA. First pitch today is set for 3:05. Jim Harbaugh is in the news again, ladies and gentlemen, this time firing a jab towards the hated Ohio State Buckeyes. Yesterday, Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith was asked about Michigan holding spring practice in Florida, to which Smith responded, quote, "If we were jump-starting our program, I'd probably try to do that too." Harbaugh responded last night on Twitter, saying, quote, "Good to see Director Smith being relevant again after that tattoo fiasco. Welcome back." Gotta love a rivalry, huh? Yesterday, the Big Ten Network confirmed that beginning with the 2017-2018 season, Notre Dame will become the seventh team in the Big Ten Men's Hockey Conference. The Fighting Irish will be leaving Hockey East, which they joined in 2013, to rejoin former CCHA rivals Michigan State and Michigan. Ironically, this weekend, Notre Dame will square off with the Wolverines in the NCAA tournament. Last night saw yet another sloppy performance from the Detroit Red Wings as they fell on the road to the Tampa Bay Lightning, 6-2 the final. The Lightning scored within the first 2 minutes of all three periods, snatching away any momentum the Wings hoped to carry. Despite falling behind 3-0 early, Detroit battled back to within one goal at 3-2 late in the second period. That's when things took a turn for the worse as the Wings couldn't stay out of the penalty box, allowing Tampa to net a power play goal that Detroit would never recover from. The loss knocks the Wings out of the final wildcard spot in the East as they step behind the Philadelphia Flyers. Next up for Detroit is a home date with the Montreal Canadiens on Thursday night. The Pistons take a three-game winning streak into tonight's contest hosting the Orlando Magic, who have lost four in a row. After Monday night's victory, the Pistons remain in a virtual tie for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. This will be the first time the two teams have played each other since the trade which sent Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova to Orlando, with the Pistons receiving Tobias Harris in return. This will be the second of three regular season matchups between the two teams. The Pistons took the first, beating Orlando 115-89 January 4th at the Palace. They'll meet again on April 6th in Orlando. You can find the game on Fox Sports Detroit tonight at 7:30. The Detroit Lions, along with all of the other NFL teams, will be wearing color rush jerseys as their third uniform for Thursday night games this fall. The NFL is expected to make a formal announcement about the color rush jerseys once the schedule is finalized, which will be next month. The Lions have not worn an alternate jersey since 2010. Team President Rod Wood previously said that the Lions could update both their throwback and regular uniforms for the 2017 season. According to Oakland men's basketball head coach Greg Campy, Sebastian Bellin, a former Oakland University basketball player and Belgian native, was seriously injured in Tuesday's terrorist attack in Brussels. Bellin was at the Brussels airport ticket counter when a bomb exploded less than 100 yards away from him. Quote from Greg Campy, "He was blown away and he's got a lot of shrapnel in his legs and hips. I was told he's in a lot of pain, but he's doing okay. He's going into his second surgery." Campy also said Bellin was expected to live. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts, please do so at 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-9527. All right, let's start the show.
Sideways, but competition they must come straight way. Competition them try to come sideways, but competition they must come straight way. How's about that? It seems like it's my turn again. All through the years, my mic has been my best friend. I know some brothers wonder, can Piper really kick it? Some even wanna diss me, but why sweat it? I'm all into my music, cause that's how I make tapes. Try to make hits like it Capri makes tapes. Me sweat another, I do my own thing. Strictly hardcore tracks, not a new jack swing. I grew up as a Christian, so to Jah I give thanks. Collect my banks, listen to Shabaranks. I sing and chat, I do all of that. It's 1991 and I refuse to come back. I take off my hat to other crews that tend to rock, but the low end theory's here. It's time to wreck shop. I got tip and shot, so whom shall I fear? Stop, look, and listen, but please don't stare. Suggest to the store and buy the LP on Drive RCA, cassettes and CDs, produced and arranged by the four-man crew. And Skef Anselm, he gets props too. Make sure you have a system with some fat house speakers so the new can rock from Boston, Massapequa. Cause where I come from, quality is job one, and everybody up on it, you know we get the job done.
Check this out.
Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5 foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat Arsenio to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles upon styles is what I have. You wanna just a fifer, but you still don't know the half. I sport New Balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Messing around with this, it can't size it up. I never have stuff, cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say, yo, shorty black, you're bugging out.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was, of course, a great montage of one of the best to ever do it in the hip-hop game. That's right, Fife Dawg, member of the famed group, A Tribe Called Quest, a group that really changed the game, changed the sound of hip-hop, and really expanded where the genre could go. The first hip-hop group ever to mix the sound of rap and jazz. And of course, just the fame group. And news broke this morning that really rubbed me the wrong way, because, of course, I am one of the biggest Tribe fans you'll ever meet. My favorite rap group of all time. My favorite hip-hop group of all time. They did it like no one else did it, folks. But Fife Dawg, now dead at the age of 46. His health problems certainly well documented. He had a kidney transplant back in 2006. He battled diabetes and always had health problems. And I remember watching the Tribe Called Quest documentary sort of telling their story and how they got to where they are. And it had a portion in the documentary where it sort of talked about, you know, Fife's health issues. And Fife just had an addiction to sugar. And that's exactly what he called it. It is an addiction. I can't knock it. And, you know, it's just really sad news because, again, that's young. 46 years old. 46 years old is far too soon to leave this earth. But the hip-hop world is moved today. The music industry as a whole is moved today. And I haven't seen any statements made by the other two members of A Tribe Called Quest, of course, including Q-Tip. But I'm sure he is really, really hurt right now. And watching that documentary, there was a portion of it that showed just kind of the ego battles that Fife and Tip went through when the group started to become popular. But at the end of the day, it still was all love. So rest in peace, Fife Dawg. I give a big tribute to you, my friend, on today's show. Rest in peace, dude. Certainly gone far too soon. And, you know, we just don't talk sports here. We hit on a lot of different things, including pop culture. And, you know, I definitely wanted to start the show by honoring him because, man, that was my childhood. You know, A Tribe was part of my childhood. Listen to them. I still remember being at my cousin's house, spending the night over there, my cousin Remy's house, and hearing the low-end theory for the very first time. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, who are these guys? You know? Of course, the low-end theory was well into their career, but the sound was still there. Same Tribe. And he will certainly be missed. Folks, please call in 517-355-9527 before moving forward here. And, of course, we will be recapping that incredible high school boys basketball game from last night. Again, Everett and Hudsonville. And, we want to salute three of our local teams. Williamston, Lansing Everett, and Fulton have made it to the Breslin Center. Congrats to them. Congrats to them. Big dubs last night in boys high school basketball quarterfinals. We'll get to that in just a second, but we do have a caller on the line that wants to pay tribute to the man, the myth, the legend, Fife Dawg. We've got our dear friend and caller, Austin, on line one. Austin, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. How you doing today, Al?
I'm fantastic, my friend. What's on your noggin?
Hey, check this out, man. We're going to keep going with the whole Fife Dawg and Tribe Called Quest tip. So I'm going to say one of Q-Tip's verses. And I want to quiz you to see if you can follow up with Fife Dawg first. Can you handle
it? You put me on the spot. All right, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Let me check it out. You got me mesmerized with your black hair and your thighs. Street poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop when you drop my way. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Okay, that's and shout out to the Zulu Nation. I could go on and on. That's one of their most popular tracks. So I'm glad that you went that route right there, Austin. Thank you, brother. You didn't make it too hard.
Oh yeah. Have a good show, man. You guys have a good one.
Appreciate that. Awesome. That was a great tribute from Austin there. And Isaac, I know you're a big hip hop head yourself, my man. What did Tribe mean to you, dude?
Yeah, the Tribe Called Quest was one of the first hip hop groups I listened to because they were almost genre bending. If you know what I mean, they sort of meshed all of these different sounds together. So they were on all of these different video games, actually, that you wouldn't have expected. So FIFA, for example, had some Tribe Called Quest. So the first song I ever heard by them was actually not Can I Kick It, but was a Ward Tour. And now I do have Tribe Called Quest on vinyl, so I'll pay my tribute tonight and listen to the anthology all the way through.
Definitely, man. They certainly changed the game. And Fife will certainly be missed. And I know they were supposed to go on tour, and I wonder what's going to happen with that. Now, I did see Tribe reunite for a performance on Jimmy Fallon not too long ago, and that was, I assume, the last national TV spot that we saw Fife Dawg on. All right, folks, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's talk high school boys basketball, folks. Of course, last night, boys high school basketball quarterfinals took place. Three area boys hoop teams, as Mike Masson mentioned at the very start of the show, punched their tickets to the Breslin Center and the state semifinals in last night's quarterfinal round. Lansing Everett, they topped Hudsonville in a double overtime, one for the books at Lansing Eastern's Don Johnson Fieldhouse, 63-54, the final of that one. And is now the Vikings' second consecutive trip to the Breslin after a semifinal appearance 1 year ago, when, of course, Trevor Manuel was doing his thing with the Vikes. They'll look to go a step further, though. They've gotten a taste of what it's like to get to the Brez, but the goals are much bigger than that. They will face off with North Farmington on Friday in Class A action at the Brez at 2:50 p.m. Also, Williamson, thanks to Riley Lewis's game-high 27 points, they topped River Rouge 53-46 in Class B action. And, of course, the big storyline concerning Williamson is their head coach, Jason Bauer. Jason Bauer, he was diagnosed with brain tumors earlier in the season, right when the playoffs started, actually. He had to take a leave of absence and have surgery. He is recovering quite nicely and has been present at the Williamson basketball games. Not coaching, though. That duty has been lended over to Riley Lewis's dad. But very cool, you know, motivating factor for this team. And it's very, very cool that Bauer is recovering quite nicely. But the Hornets will next take on Detroit Henry Ford on Friday at 6 p.m. And the Fulton Pirates got the better of Bel Air 51-41 to advance in Class D. Their next matchup will be against Powers North Central on Thursday at 7:50 p.m. So congrats to Fulton. Congratulations to Williamson. Congratulations to Lansing Everett. A tough, tall order for the Ithaca Yellow Jackets last night, but they also had a great season. Want to salute them as well. Well, I want to talk about the Lansing Everett game because that's where I was present at. And, of course, it took place at Don Johnson Fieldhouse at Lansing Eastern High School. What a game it was. It was one of the most entertaining games that I've covered, high school boys basketball games that I've ever covered. Hudsonville, again, they fell. They led, though, 31-23 at halftime. And actually, they led 44-37 after three quarters. But then something happened. Jamiron Jackson, who I believe is the most underrated player in the area, just completely took over. He basically said, just give me the ball. Everybody else get out the way. We are not losing this game. We will be at the Breslin Center this weekend. That's what happened. Jamiron Jackson, he led the Vikings with 24 points. Leandre Wright, also huge. And Victor Edwards as well. 12 and 11 for those individuals, respectively. And what was so interesting about this, though, is I harp on how big Jamiron Jackson was. And the thing about Jamiron is he led his team back. They tie the game up going into the first overtime. But what happens? The very start of overtime, Jamiron Jackson, he tries to keep that momentum going. He dribble drives going to his right. He goes up, a finger roll layup, bounces about four times on the rim and goes through the net. But then all of a sudden, when he comes down, you hear a whistle. The referees called a charge on Jamiron Jackson. He had four fouls going into that first overtime. Jamiron fouls out. And you see the emotion on Jamiron's face. First off, he looks at the ref and says, are you kidding me? Did you really call that? And then once head coach Desmond Ferguson subs him out, Jackson heads to the bench, untucks his jersey, balls up his fist, and immediately punches on the bench in utter disbelief and in utter madness. But this is what's so interesting about this Lansing Everett team. You know, we had Eric Doc Love of the team 92.1 FM on our show yesterday. And, you know, he mentioned how all of a sudden there's like this switch that has gone off for the Vikings. You know, this is a team, folks. Jamiron, of course, he is certainly the face of that squad, the best player on that team. But they're so deep. And they've seen the click out of nowhere. Again, folks, this is a team that went, 15-10? Overall, and now they're going to the Breslin Center. And again, one man can't do that. They're so deep, and other players stepped up. Now, I will say this, though. I do have a problem, and I have voiced this problem multiple times when discussing high school basketball. high school basketball needs desperately a shot clock. Because it was ugly watching overtime. I will say that first overtime especially. Because you had both Hudsonville and Everett draining the clock, trying to find the perfect shot, you know, well over, you know, 30 seconds. Sometimes it seemed like forever when both teams had the basketball on some of those possessions. I mean, like up to a minute on some of those possessions. Trying to find the perfect shot. It didn't go home. They would try a layup or a missed three-pointer. Didn't happen. And you just had this feeling on. I said this to myself, that whoever scores first in the overtime period is going to clearly have the advantage. Because wherever that first score comes from, you better believe that if they get the ball, if they get a defensive stop and get the ball back, and they still have the lead, they're just going to drain the clock. It doesn't matter. It could have been an hour left on the clock, all right? They were going to just dribble it out, force the opposition to foul them, go to the line, and make it a free throw shooting contest. And that's exactly what happened. And I asked that. And the game allows for that. I got to be honest. If I'm a head coach, and there's no shot clock in high school, if I'm a head coach, it's overtime. A trip to the Brez is on the line. The state championship appearance is on the line. I get the lead in overtime. I get a defensive stop. There's like 2 minutes left. You better believe it. If I think my team is good at handling the basketball and won't turn it over, heck yeah, why not drain the clock down and force the team to foul you? It allows for that, but it makes it so ugly to watch, though. So ugly to watch. Nonetheless, though, Everett ended up pulling it out. Jamyron Jackson went out, and his teammates certainly stepped up in the closing minutes. Here is actually, I want to play a bite for you guys from that game last night. What you're going to hear is Jamyron Jackson. You're going to hear the head coach of the Vikings, Desmond Ferguson. Dale Beard, assistant coach for the Lansing Everett Vikings, who will be my guest on Current Sports TV this week. And you'll hear just some celebration from the squad. So check this out.
It was just I needed to bring energy on the bench. I had no doubt that my team could bring out the W. So I couldn't bring my energy on the floor and all my skills and stuff. So I had to have faith in my teammates.
I mean, just keep fighting. I mean, we're not a one-man team. We're not a two-man team. We're a team. And it gave an opportunity for other guys to step up. You know, Kel Fahmy for not being in the game all game and come in and, you know, help us out on defense and run the offense. I mean, guys just continue to step up. I just told them, fight. Just fight, man. This was all about, and it came down to toughness, and we were able to persevere. We wanted to hold the ball a little bit, get in our ball here in hand, and eventually they had a foul, and it come down to us knocking down free throws, something we've been kind of so-so all season, but, you know, these last few games we've been knocking down in the clutch.
What makes this team so special?
They want it, man. They want it. I think, you know, after the success we had last year and, you know, people really doubted them, you know, felt we was a one-man team with Trevor or, you know, a one-hit wonder. I mean, it kind of shows that we have a program and we got guys that have pride, and I think that's really what it's all about.
You guys were down double digits just, what, 2 games ago late in the game. You came back and made that one pretty much the same thing again tonight. Is that got to be something?
It's not scripted. We're not sitting in the locker room and say, okay, we want to be down in the fourth quarter and come back and win. You know, I would rather us be up the whole game and win, but however we can get it, and if it equals a W at the end of the game, I'm all for it.
Well, you know, hard work, man, hard work. You know, we our season's up and down this year. People counted us out, and every time they did, you know, we came back, and, you know, hey, man, it feels great.
State championship or bust?
We'll see Friday.
Do you get a bit of nostalgia right now? When you think about back to your playing days back in the 70s with this squad, you guys are going back to the Breslin Center. What's that feel like?
Oh, man, it's great, man. These guys worked hard all year, man. You know, they wanted it. Our seniors were there last year. Our juniors were there last year, so our seniors were here. And, hey, we just dug in tonight, man, and got to win.
Feel like money.
Money.
Feel like money. Hey,
go crazy, baby. Go crazy for us. Hey. Feels like money, baby. That was the quote of the night right there. So congratulations to the Lansing Everett Vikings again. A huge comeback in the waning moments of that game to force it to overtime, and then it was just a defensive battle back and forth in the first overtime, and Everett able to get the upper hand in double overtime. And Hudsonville, you got to feel for them, though, because, you know, they have four players scoring double figures. Jarrett Bloom, Cooper Kashani, leading the way with 13 points apiece. Then you had Riley Coaston and Adam Van Laar scoring 10 points each. And they were in complete control. Their student section was off the rocker, going insane in the membrane. And, you know, all the momentum was on their side, but Everett did not give up. And defense,
Everett's defense continued to shut down the Eagles in that fourth quarter. The Vikings gave up 3 field goals over the final 16 minutes. As Tom Izzo likes to say, Isaac, hey, defense wins championships, right?
Yeah, certainly does. And this is an Everett team, too. It was 10-10 in the regular season. 10-10.
Right.
They've gone 6-0 in the postseason. So it just shows when a team gets hot and when you've got that star player, that leader of the team that's leading a crusade just about to the state championship, amazing things can happen. And that's what happened last night, it sounds like.
That is so true. Such a fun game. Again, so congrats to Lansing Everett. Again, they top Hudsonville, Williamston over River Rouge, and the Fulton Pirates over Bel Air. And we will be in the house this weekend for those local games at the Brez. Keep it locked to WKAR.org for our coverage. And also, don't miss Current Sports TV tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I will be sitting down with Dale Beard, assistant coach of the Lansing Everett Vikings. And, of course, he was Magic Johnson's point guard back in the 70s when Lansing Everett won that state championship with Magic and company. Man, just a great team back in the 70s. But Dale is now an assistant coach alongside head coach Desmond Ferguson, and he's going to break down what took place at Don Johnson Fieldhouse yesterday. So you do not want to miss that. Again, if you want to be a part of the live studio audience, we will tape that episode tonight at 6 p.m. Again, just go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Again, I want to kind of carry on the question that we posed when we closed out yesterday's show, on today's show. That being, should Michigan State men's basketball player Deonte Davis take his talents to the NBA? Do you think that DD is ready? And we played a pretty heated moment during Izzo's end-of-the-year press conference at the Brez yesterday. He had an interesting back and forth with Larry Lage, friend of the show and good friend of mine, Michigan State journalism alum, who writes now for the Associated Press. He had an interesting back and forth with Larry about that very topic. And Isaac, do we have that bite queued up? I want to play that for the folks that might have missed yesterday's show. I want to play that bite right now and get your thoughts on it. Here we go.
Another question on DD. So you kind of have a sense that he's coming back? I mean, is that your gut feeling now? Or, I mean, you've been through this a lot. I mean, how – you said ask you anything, so.
I'm cool with it.
Kind of your gut feeling now that he is coming back? You think he's coming
if
back?
If I say that, I have no feeling right now because I really haven't addressed it. And the people I talk to that matter. But in this game, there are – some incredible people talking to incredible kids. And so I don't know, you know, I know Didi knows what he has to get better at, whether he thinks he can get better at that here, whether he can get better at there. I don't know. But I have no problem with the question. How would you answer it?
I mean, I would try to be as forthcoming as I can. I mean, it's a question because, you know, whoever does the
mock
draft.
Okay, so if I say, but man, I'm not sure. How does that get tweeted out?
Tom Izzo says he's not sure.
You think so? How does it get? How do you think it gets read?
That I can't interpret.
You're a writer. No question. Or Izzo thinks he's staying. Or Izzo's trying to keep him here. Or Izzo's trying to. I mean, I can't.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you want me to answer honestly, then buck up.
Right. Well, I
so,
mean.
Don't be giving me that kind of answer. Then buck up.
I mean, I would read I would read that as he's not sure. How does the public read it? I don't know. I mean, I can't pretend to think what the public.
But isn't that your job?
No.
No.
My job is to get the facts as close as I can and let people decide.
All right,
well,
here be the facts. And I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not either. I'm just having a conversation.
The facts are, I don't know.
Right. You're going to assist him.
I'm going to assist him. I'm going to talk to GMs. I'm going to talk to his high school coach and his grandmother, and I'm going to talk to Didi. I'm going to probably give him my personal opinion, and I'm going to remind everybody that you have to be ready to go physically, you have to be ready to go skill-wise, and you have to be ready to go mentally. And so, you know, a lot of times they see a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I'm also going to look at, you know, where the trend is now. The trend is not as many people are coming out. because they don't want to go to the D League. They don't want to go to this and that. They don't want to survive in that. And we're starting to get more numbers on the number of kids that fail. All I want for Deontay Davis is for him to be successful.
Yeah, so again, head coach Tom Izzo during his end of the season press conference at the Breslin Center yesterday. Again, a very interesting back and forth between Larry Lage and Tom concerning Deontay Davis. Now, first off, there are a few layers to what I believe got under Tom Izzo's skin. One being social media. You know, Tom doesn't like social media. When has Izzo ever made a positive comment about social media? But in relation to this situation concerning Deontay Davis, is Tom believes that rumors have floated out in social media world, Isaac, that Deontay will probably be maybe a first-round pick in the NBA draft. And he's heard that chatter. Now, when it comes to the perception of what people will think when Izzo comments on what Deontay Davis should do, Tom Izzo believes that if he, whatever Tom Izzo says, you know, if he says, okay, I believe that, you know, Deontay maybe needs another year to develop, people are going to look at that and say, of course, you're going to say that, Tom, because you want him to stick around so you have a better chance at going deep in the tourney next year, at possibly winning a championship. People are going to have that perception, which some may have that perception. So Tom believes whatever he says, you know, is going to be looked at in a negative light to a lot of the people out there who don't understand where Tom is coming from. What was your reaction to this back and forth and what Izzo had to say yesterday?
I understand where Izzo is coming from, because simply that type of answer, I'm not sure answer, elicits a certain reaction from the crowd. That is not necessarily a glowing endorsement of a player's future at the college, because if Deontay Davis was for sure staying, he might have told Izzo after the loss in the final or in the round of 64, don't worry, coach, I'm coming back next year. That obviously didn't happen. At the same time, though, it's a totally fair question. It's not as if Deontay Davis is for sure leaving either. We've already had players declare for the draft. Ben Simmons, Cat Williams, all of those different players, or Cat Barber, already declared for the draft. And Deontay Davis hadn't done that. Now I'm looking at a draft board right now, though, and Deontay Davis is number 14 on it. Mm-hmm. If he goes lottery pick, I think he will leave this year. However, if he drops down to later in the first round, I think he sticks around another season.
Yeah. Folks, what do you think? What do you think? Should Deontay stay or should he leave? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with former Michigan State running back great, also had a pretty good career in the NFL, Ty Duckett. You don't want to miss that and so much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Now, I got to remind folks that not only are we, of course, live on your radio right now, but for the second time now, I am live streaming the show. You get a look inside of how we are doing things here, all right, behind the speakers. Again, if you follow me or add me as a friend on Facebook, Al Martin is my name on Facebook, pretty simple. You can see exactly what is taking place visually here on the show, and during the live stream, it allows you to also on Facebook leave comments. And I want to read one comment from my frat brother, Justin J. Dunn. He weighs in on Deontay Davis saying, quote, shakes my head, the bias in me needs DD to stay, end quote. Of course, my frat brother Justin went to Michigan State, so of course your Spartan fans want Deontay Davis to stay, well, without a doubt. But, you know, if I'm in Deontay Davis' shoes and I'm looking at a lottery pick, a potential lottery pick, Isaac, and I'm here and listening to NBA execs. And Izzo's going to do his homework. He's going to reach out to his pals in the NBA world to really weigh in on where they think Deontay Davis will go. If he is a lottery pick, hey, that's moolah you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, sports, you know, your next game is never guaranteed. We've seen injuries happen. You know what I mean? So if the money's there, I'm always in the area of, hey, the money's there, make the leap and take it, because your health is never guaranteed. I'm just saying. Folks, weigh in. Again, live stream is going on right now. Leave a comment on the live stream, or you can call in 517-355-9527, or even comment on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's show, who is going to talk about a pretty cool event that is now in its seventh year. The Battlefield Brawl is a flag football tournament that raises money and awareness for kids battling life-threatening illnesses in the Oldham Project Kids Program, a Greater Lansing nonprofit that provides free professional portraits to cancer patients. Now, it's not your average tournament, as it stars celebrities, professional athletes, and past Michigan State University football and basketball players. To talk about that event and so much more, we now invite former Michigan State and NFL running back, great, and founder of New World Flood, my man, 100 grand, Todd Duckett. How you doing, Todd?
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. Always good to talk to you. Now, first off, Todd, I want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, what goes through your head when you think about the Battlefield Brawl going into its now seventh year? That's got to be pretty gratifying.
Unbelievable to even consider it being the seventh year. It's it started out as a dream, an idea Justin Kane and I had, and here we are 7 years later, being able to go out and play a game that I love so much and to play it. And not only are we having fun, I get a chance to interact with former players that I was with, and also community gets to interact with people who they follow, they cheered for, but we also get to do it for a great cause and raise funds for some amazing organization.
Now,
I mean, that's no other better way to spend your Saturday, your Sunday.
Now, Ty, for those that don't know, you know, how this event got started, can you give us a bit of background as to how it started and why it started?
Yes. So a really great friend of mine, Justin Kane, he experienced some brain cancer when he was young, was a child. And always wanted to play sports, wasn't able to play sports. And then having hanging out with him and volunteering with him, he came out one day and was like, man, we should be able to come up with some game that we could be able to play football and go out and battle cancer some way. And we sat there. And at the time, I had run football camps, and we've had professional athletes or so be coaches at these camps. And instead of running the camp, we suggested, why don't we try to merge the two and have these celebrities come out and play this game that we both love and help a cause that is affecting his life. We're out here battle. Let's go out and brawl for a cause. Let's go out here and create this battlefield brawl. And here we are. Here we are 7 years later, have affected so many lives and brought a great event to the community.
Yeah, you know, it's so fun to play in it. I tell you that. This will be my third year.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, it's my third year. And I remember, Todd, you know, the first year, I remember I played, and you and I, we were both on the same team and got to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so fun, dude. And to get coaching from Todd Duckett is so intense and so fun, folks, all right? It was unbelievable.
It's real football all of a sudden. Yeah, security event, but – it goes starting that second half, all of a sudden, man, who you got? Who guarding who? Where
oh,
at?
Man. And I tell you what, Ty was the mastermind. You were the mastermind of our team. I will say that. But then, you know, what's so interesting, though, is the next year I played in it, last year, is that I was going against you, and we got to the quarterfinals again and got stomped. And I'm sitting there saying, I got to get past the quarterfinals this year, all right? I will be motivated, all right?
And that's what I love, man. I love especially with you being able to participate. We get to interact in so many different spaces. And to go and do something that, I mean, be athletic, be mobile, be out in the community together, man, it's beautiful. I appreciate your involvement.
Oh, I love participating in it, Todd. Now, I got to know, how much money has this event raised over the years, and how have you seen those funds directly make an impact in a community?
Yeah, I would say probably in the last 6 years, we've raised close to about 60 grand. And with that, we've been able to create a new cause with the Olin Project called A Day to Breathe, where we're taking cancer patients into Douglas J, and they're getting massages, manicures, pedicures, ways for them to interact, remove them from the scenario that they're in, and give them one day to focus on themselves. And in that same space, they're interacting with women and men who have beat cancer, who they're creating chemo dates together. They're in a space that cancer can be such a to yourself thing that you don't realize who else is going through it. And to see these women and men now come out of this day re-energized and with a belief that they will overcome this terrible disease, I mean, that's been a huge part of our success with this event.
Todd Duckett, former Michigan State and NFL running back, great, and founder of New World Flood. Todd, why is it so important to you to give back to the community? Why is that such an important part of who you are?
Because that's what we are. I mean, we are a product of our community. And if we're not pouring back into our community in positive ways, we can't expect positive outcomes in the future. And to have had a platform where especially the MSU community and the Lansing, East Lansing community has helped me so much through my, even when my brother was at school, when I was a kid coming up here, up until I've left Michigan State and now come back, they've supported me the whole entire time. And this is a great way for me to be able to give back and for me to be thankful. And it's if we don't do that, if we don't work together to better our community, we won't have a community at some point. So we have to continue to give back. And that, I would rather have that be my legacy than a touchdown catch that I had in my past. That's what it means to me.
Very well said. Now, Todd, your organization, New World Flood, of course, is a nonprofit about volunteerism whose purpose is to, quote, flood the world with service. Expound on how New World Flood came to fruition and what's the meaning behind its words?
Sure. It started after volunteering and really being involved in the community, working with other nonprofits. I felt like there were people they were having trouble believing in themselves. And during that same space, I was going through my own depression, trying to figure out what life was for, what it was about, why am I here? And volunteering became the answer. It gave me a new sense of purpose. Before that, I had went on a 40-day fast of just water to figure out, I mean, I went into it, man. I went into my own war room and had to get where I had to get right. And coming out of that, I saw a whole new world of opportunity. Looking at SportsCenter, watching ESPN, that's like the old world of things. The new world was seeing the needs in the community, understanding what it meant to have a family dealing with cancer, to have a child going through it, to have all those things. I saw a whole new world of place where I could serve. And then to see through my fast, studying and really looking at different cultures, there was a flood in all of them. And all of those floods after the flood left, it was a brand new fresh start. So for my life, going from the old world to the new world, and the flood is what got me there, that's where that name comes from. And then for us as an organization, our motto is a single drop is the beginning of a flood. One raindrop, one act of kindness, one positive movement forward, that can really change and impact the life. And then once our organization leaves your community, it'll never be the same.
Beyond cool, Todd. I'm looking forward to this event. Again, it will take place, the Battlefield Brawl, Sunday, April 24th at 10 a.m. Folks out there listening, Todd, if they want to be a part of this very cool event, how can they do so?
You can go to newworldflood.org and look us up on our webpage. You can go to our Facebook page, New World Flood. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, all those spaces. One thing that we're offering now is a contest that if you go to our either social media platform and take a picture of yourself doing something positive in the community and use the hashtag Rainmaker New World Flood, that's RegnMakerNWF, we will select some winners every week going up until the day of the event, and we'll create a space for you to play on one of our teams and be involved that way. So you can go to the social media New World Flood, our webpage, and figure out ways to sign up and join us.
Wow, that's very cool stuff. All right, folks. Well, before we get you out of here, Todd, I can't let you go without talking a bit of MSU football here. Now, yeah. I want to ask you this, because Pro Day just took place here on campus at Michigan State. Of course, the NFL Combine is already in the books, and everyone's looking forward to the NFL Draft now. Of course, yeah. Names like Connor Cook, Shalik Calhoun, Darian Harris, Jack Allen, Jack Conklin. I mean, those are just some of the names that everyone's throwing out there that are projected to be, you know, high draft picks. Where do you think those individuals are going in the draft? And also, do you think that Pro Day in the NFL Combine is a bit overrated?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, the guys that are being drafted now, it comes down to team need. What team needs what and what their draft slot is there and what person and what players are available. So I don't really know as far as the depth of each team and the order to see what the true need is that they will have to have. Mm-hmm. And a draft day, it's really beneficial for players to go and show who they are, what they are. Their tape, their film already speaks before a GM, a coach, an owner to be able to look at this kid in person, see how they run, see if they can move, see their strength. To be able to see that in person, we're talking million-dollar investment. And that's a great way for an owner who's getting ready to write these checks to see what their players are. And guys who didn't have much game film, it's a way for the owner and, again, the coach, can he run? Will he fit in my system? Is this a player that we can develop? I mean, those are all positive things that the Jets – and it can be vice versa. I mean, they could think they have a player one way and see him in person, and he's not as big or as fast or whatever it thinks, and that could hurt their status as well.
Ty, what was your pro day in Combine like?
Oh, man, crazy. I mean, it's a job interview. I mean, it literally is a job interview, and you prepare, you run, you train – for one shot. You have 140, 240s, one chance to run three cone drill. And if you mess up or you stumble, I mean, you might drop a round or not even get drafted. So you really have to prepare every single way. I mean, mind, body, and soul to go out. And thank God I had an amazing draft day. I mean, I went, I prepared, I had great training. And I mean, no difference than a Sunday where you have the whole world watching you anyway. You just got to prepare. And man, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad I don't have to do it again. But it's definitely something the young man who's in that space will never forget.
Ty, do you remember what your numbers were? Your 40 time
or the
amount of reps?
Some of them.
What were
they?
Can you riddle off a few of them?
Yeah, I know. I ran 4.37 in my 40 at 260. 260?
Wow.
Yeah.
You were just from Pluto. You were just a freak of nature. My goodness.
That's how I was able to become a first round pick. I had some great film, but then to look at the numbers, 38 inch vertical. I mean, you're 260. What are you doing?
Right.
I mean, things like that. Those were ways to solidify my first round choice.
Man, a 4.340. That's crazy, Todd. Oh, and I got to know this too, because I hear that the interviews with respective NFL teams during, you know, the moments leading up to the NFL draft are insane. I got to know, what's the craziest question you were asked during your interview process?
You know, I don't know any particular question, but I do know in Indianapolis at night, you have teams and coaches trying to schedule you for 5 minutes. Come here, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And I remember walking into the Cleveland Brown, their suite at the time, and it was probably like 30 executives in there, head coaches, front office, marketing, and you're this 19-year-old kid, and they sit you in this chair with all 30 of these just people, and they ask you some simple questions. And I mean, it's different. If you've never been in that space, man, and I mean, that can make or break you as well. It's just a series of tests going on and on and on again, because like, it's a huge investment for the city, for the team, for everybody.
That is so true. All right, Ty, before we get you out of here, again, it is March, and a lot of people are focusing on basketball. And you, throughout your football career, were a part of many thrilling victories and a few defeats as well. Watching what took place on Friday with the Michigan State men's basketball team going out in the very first game of their tourney run, the biggest upset in MSU men's basketball history, what advice would you give to Coach Izzo and his players about trying to put this in the past?
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. I mean, you win some, you lose some. And this, I mean, the great career Coach Izzo has, this may even propel him. We don't know how much more time he has left to be here. You know, how many more years he's going to continue to coaching. But this might propel him to just a whole new standard. And if that's the case, the young men that will be returning to the team next year and the years to come will never forget this loss. I mean, this will be the seed. If treated right, this will be the seed that will be our next national championship. This will be that defining moment. And you hope that the senior, you hate to see the senior class go out the way they did, but this may be the seed for their next phase in life. This may push them to be another world champion instead because of this. They may not take things for granted. They may work a little extra. Who knows? But you have to take this and know that this was a moment meant for this particular team in this particular time, and what will evolve from these young men, because they're still young men and it's bigger than the game. What will they evolve from in this moment forward to change whatever they need to or create a new outlook for their life?
Absolutely love it. The one, the only, Todd Duckett, former MSU and NFL running back, great and founder of New World Flood. Again, Todd, one more time, how can people find out about Battlefield Brawl?
Come to newworldflood.org or check us out on social media. There's plenty of information there. And right before I go, man, just, you know, from the Mr. Davis story, Deontay Davis, is he coming out or not? You know, it can be about dollars and cents, but you also have to understand a lot of these men, young men, have been dreaming of this for their whole entire life, been dreaming to play at the next level. And if all of a sudden that dream becomes reality, no matter how much money is involved, you're telling me my dream is going to happen next? That's a huge way to sway a person going from back and forth if they're going to stay or leave or not as well.
That's so true. I mean, you're talking about something you've been working on. You're working toward forever. Exactly.
Forever.
Since you picked
your
up a basketball.
Life.
Yeah.
Forever. And you're telling me now that I'm potentially and to know the situation, whether you're a lottery pick or you're the last pick, you've been chosen for an opportunity. It's a space. Now go and prove yourself. You know?
So, yeah.
It's interesting. It's just interesting, and we'll follow it. And, man, thanks for having me on here, man. I really, truly appreciate it, boss.
The one, the only, Todd Duckett. My man, hey, I look forward to playing any event. I always wake up sore the next morning, but I it's so fun. So
for the
fun.
Next 2 weeks, we'll be sore.
I'm sure. Todd, thank you so much. Have a
thank
good afternoon,
you,
all right?
You too, boss. Take care.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we do have Apache on the line. We're going to get to him in just a second. Let's hit a quick break. Again, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527. Less than 10 minutes left. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's go to line two right now. We've got our dear friend Apache, who we haven't heard from in quite some time. Apache, how you been, my man?
I've been on the road, man. I've been trying to help Trump and using that teleprompter. I told him he got to use that teleprompter. Keeps getting himself in trouble, so I finally sold him on it.
Did you? Nice. That was good. That's good advice. Good advice.
Yeah, it is, man. So that's why he calmed down on that nonsense. But anyway, number one, there is no question there. Izzo's going to do the best thing he can for that kid. He's going to show him all his options up to that kid and his mom and dad. I think the sincereness of his contacts and his advice is going to take care of the situation. And we just have to be grateful that he – and I'm not a Michigan State fan, but you got to be grateful this kid came here and entrusted that coach. I mean, I'd much rather trust him than the coach from Kentucky or some of the other places. So, you know – he's in good hands. He's got no worry about it. And you guys are in good hands, too, because you know you can have somebody fill that vacuum.
Man,
that ain't no problem. That's been demonstrated year after year. But the one thing he has to have in the back of his mind is that you look at Day-Day and you look at Zell. The more time they play, the better they got. They are fun when they sound. And they're definitely some ballers. On the high school thing, yeah, you're right, man. See, it's a good time clock. Let's speed up that game and make it a small ball game. That way the big man doesn't dominate the offense and the defense. Let's get it going up and down the court, more shots. And that incorporates more players, and coaches won't just look for big guys. They'll look for ball handlers and guys with pull-ups and break you down on the dribble and so forth. That's a much more beautiful game. That's a ballet, the city ballet, man. That's kind of basketball I like.
You know, it's just so disheartening for me. You know, it's ugly. It's ugly basketball to me, Apache, because you sit there.
No, when Villanova won the national championship, it was such an ugly Final Four. That's when they put the clock in there. It was ridiculous.
Right,
North Carolina was famous for that four-corner freeze, you know. It's ugly basketball. The game is meant to go up and down the court.
Exactly.
Go up down the court and let those kids develop their lungs and their hearts and their backs and their legs and not worry about who's the ultimate winner. Just get them to run because the ball is about making you do something you wouldn't do normally. You got old people out there playing golf, chasing a little white ball, and they wouldn't walk if they didn't have that little white ball. So it makes them go out there and chase that ball, and it gives them cardiovascular development and everything else, you know, leg strength and something to talk about. And, you know, that's what the ball is all about, any kind of ball, football, basketball, soccer ball. It makes people run. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I got four dogs, man, and there's two things they want to do. They want to run, and they want to eat.
Right.
And every day, I run them 2-3 times a day, man, and I wish I could run like them. They look like they're having a lot of fun, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, they're young, man. Let them run, man. Let's get that game going up and down the court. And I think that was East Lansing's problem. I had predicted that. They got some ball handling problems, you know. And running, dribbling fast with the ball is not ball handling. If you look at Magic Johnson, the way he shifted angles and he did his side saddle dribble and his lateral pivots, he never dribbled fast. You know, he was able to protect that ball with his body. And I don't think a lot of kids don't understand that concept. It's not dribbling the ball and doing the crossover all the time, or the reverse crossover, you know, the side saddle and the lateral pivot. I don't see that very much anymore, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
But I did see it with Magic. And you can see the calm when he dribbles. He got complete calm because the defender is at the mercy of the dribbler. And the dribbler is setting up the defender. He's waiting for him to make a move that many times is predicted. You know, he's always going to reach for the ball and so forth. But if you protect the ball with your body, you're a good ball handler. And you know, the whole thing of a fast break is to create this panic psychologically and emotionally where you go into a panic and then you play into the hands of the defense. And I've seen her ever at play, and I'm really impressed. I don't know his name, but the guy with the bandana. I've been watching
Jamyra Jackson. Yeah.
I love that. I love his attitude.
He's great.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is just unafraid. And you're right, man. Give me the ball, damn it, and get out the way because this is going up, you know. And I like that attitude, man. And he led that team. And I think he wanted to establish also, you know what? I was a part of this team last year. I was a part of this game where we were successful and so forth. And man, that's very impressive that they got to the Final Four because they're not really that big. I didn't see that. I didn't
no,
see a
they're
big
not.
Team.
Yeah, no, you know, they're not. But the thing is, they're so efficient. They waste no time in playing to their strengths, which is going off the dribble drive and getting the ball in the hands of their best player, which
yeah,
is Jamyra Jackson.
And putting pressure all up and down the court, putting pressure.
Right,
and,
right.
And kids freak, they make mistakes, you know.
Exactly.
And hey, man, kudos to the coach. Very impressive. And I saw him before the season even started, and he yelled at one of the players. He said, sit your ass down. He said, if you don't read them out for me, you don't play. And
that's,
I just love
true.
That attitude, man. I love that attitude, that tenacious attitude. We're going to go out there and we're going to fight. And to me, that's what the running game is. You know, I was on the Apache Reservation a few years ago.
Oh, hold on. We got less than like 40 seconds left. Real quick point.
All right. Hey, you guys take care.
Wait,
thank you.
Call in tomorrow. I want to hear that story, all right?
All right, man.
Great
Bye.
Take from Apache. That's a great take. And I'm going to elaborate more on the shot clock on tomorrow's show. Again, I want to give a big thank you, though, to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Ty Duckett as well for joining me, and all of you, all of our viewers out there on the live stream. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.